What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Tucson Pinball Podcast. My name is Wayne. Welcome to Wayne's World. So today, this is episode 13, recap and the future. So 2016 was a lot of fun. We had a lot of events going on. We saw a lot of growth in some areas and some kind of sideways growth, meaning no growth in other areas. So, but first, a project update. Okay, so recently I picked up a taxi from a buddy who's going to restore this and then decided he wanted a Walking Dead premium instead, so he needed the room. So I helped him out by freeing up some space, and I brought it home. He'd already taken off most of the topside plastics and whatnot, and the ramps and things. So really just the some of the more metallic hardware was remaining and things like that. So posts and wire guides and things like that. So pulled all that stuff out, put it on my little really dinky fixture, cleaned it out and cleared it, and it looks pretty good. It plays great. It I think from the time I got it to the time I was actually playing, it was, well, could have played if the, well, no, I played. It was about 2.5 weeks, so just working a couple hours here and there. And I had to replace the display because the bottom one, if you're not familiar with taxi, it's got two main alphanumeric displays, and the top one was working fine. The bottom one was not even lighting up, so it was bad for whatever reason, and I tried lots of different ways to try to fix it, didn't fix it, oh well, whatever. So I got an LED display replacement, which it's already on the board. You just drop it in, and it runs on 5 volts instead of 100 volts and should last pretty much forever. And there's a jackpot slash bonus counter that the in the artwork on the back glass is a, it's the, what do you call it? When they drop the flag, whatever that meter is. And so that one had had a new kind of tag-along display as well. So everything matches. It looks great. Plays awesome. Funny thing is, so there's small rubber rings on the posts that are right above that separate the inlane and outlane. And one of those snapped already, which is kind of funny. So real rubber does funny stuff. But yeah, that's a really, really fun game. And I think I've mentioned this in the past. I don't know how much of a recap or how much of a retelling this is, but I really hated Taxi for a while. That it's a hard game, and but it's a System 11, so you'll get some bad bounces from time to time. Like I was just playing a couple games, and I had a bad bounce coming out of the Santa kickout thing on the left side. It hit one of the rubber post rubbers, and it just kind of bounced oh so nicely right into the outlane. So you know what? From time to time, you're going to get that. But if you're making your shots, for the most part, that's a pretty safe game as far as System 11s go. Ask some people what they think about Police Force as far as being fair with feeds and everything. So yeah, that's going to go out on location here very soon. I'm excited to have that out and have people get a chance to play it. It plays really quick because the clear is it's nice and fresh. It's not perfect, but that clear is going to last quite a while as well. So High Speed is the last project pin that I can foresee moving forward fairly quickly. I mean, Joust is a nightmare as far as figuring out what to do with the playfield overlay, because on a previous podcast, I had mentioned that I put down, one of my sample or test pieces, my test overlays, just right on a piece of wood, and I cleared it. And I was going to see if the clear would adhere to the vinyl, and did some ball drop tests, dropped it about 100 times on the same spot from a couple inches up, something you'll never have happen on an EM. And it didn't even care. Nothing happened. It was just like, whatever. But I went out there because it's still on that board. And I went out there a couple days ago, and it's the edges are lifting just a touch. And I need that to stick down and stay forever. So, not super thrilled with that. So that's just kind of one of those things where it's just going to sit there for a while, and I'll think about it. And maybe someday I'll get to it. Who knows? But High Speed's definitely the top priority, because while it's playable, it's not very pretty. And it's certainly salvageable. So that'll be a pretty big project. I didn't have to tear down Taxi to do like the cab or anything like that because Magic Eraser's awesome. The inside was kind of nasty. There's at least two Diet Cokes or two Cokes that have been evaporated in that machine, and it rusted out some of the. It didn't even rust it. It corroded because Coke doesn't rust things. It eats away at metal. So I had to replace a couple of the stand up posts because those were just they snapped. Like, you wouldn't imagine coming out of the T-nuts. They were stuck, and whatever. But it's all back together. It plays awesome. I need to print out the instruction card, because that spot is empty. Put some coin mechs in it, and it's ready to rock. So, very excited about that, because Taxi is a super fun game, and I hope everybody can see that here soon. Anyways, 2016, we also added Ghostbusters on location. I was trying to think if we added any other machines. I don't really think we did. We kind of just put them in the queue for projects. We bought projects in 2016 and a new in box. Ghostbusters has had a very nice reception. It's widely regarded as a challenging game, and people just accept that. And it's still something that you can just get a hold of and tear it up every now and then. And those are awesome games, and they keep you coming back. And you just kind of ignore the 3, 4, and 5 million point games, because those happen too. Let's see here. So in 2017, what are we looking to do? Well, we're looking to add another location here shortly. We have two. We have Tisk, which is our original and our kind of our home base. We have another one that's got three machines right now. It had two as of a couple weeks ago. It is called the Lazy Days. It's a big thing. Like, it's a KOA campground, and it's a... But it's an RV dealership with like 300 different RVs for sale, and it's a maintenance area. I mean, it's a really big complex. It's just off the freeway. At first, they called us and said, hey, we just like, you know, a couple machines. And they apparently just renovated another room. And they're like, well, we could have up to eight. And the difference between two machines and eight machines is quite substantial. So especially when you don't have eight machines to feed them. So we're searching for those, and we'll slowly grow that. But there's another location that has also kind of, you know, hemmed and hawed a little bit about getting some machines in there. So that's probably going to be a little bit of growth for us in 2017, which is kind of cool. And hopefully expose the game to more people and get more people into it. Not even as competitors, but just as casual people that I may not ever see because I'm not at the locations 24/7. So let's see. What about games coming down the pike? What are we looking at here? So Spooky Reveal is pending whatever timing they have. I'm going to just guess that it's going to be in, late March? I think at Texas Pinball Festival. That's when I think they're going to reveal what their next game is. Domino's is shipping, and I don't know. They've got a couple handfuls out the door so far. That slowed the Rob Zombie production, which D&D down in here in Tucson, they are on the line. Not on the line. They are on the list for Rob Zombie. They are like 240-ish. And I was, at the rate they were going, I was like, man, you guys are going to get this thing before the new year. It's going to be, you know, nice Christmas present, right? And then they started doing Domino's, and they kind of adjusted their pacing a little bit. So, and he was saying, what, February? He's like, I think I'm going to get it February. And I think he's going to be closer than I am. So, looking forward to that. Alien was revealed at Expo. I have not played it yet. I watched a couple videos. They keep showing some of the modes. Not keep showing. They've shown, I think, two of the modes. And while it's a cool pin, it looks awesome. I'm not sure chest bursting is appropriate for either one of the locations we have at this point. I mean, it's probably fine at Tisk, but I don't know. That's just one of those things where it's like, I'm going to have to wait till Texas and then go play it and then kind of see what happens. But who knows? Let's see. One of my personal goals for 2016 was to crack the top 1,000 ranked players in the IFPA, which I'm quite sure that you know what this is if you're listening to this, but if you don't, It's the association that tracks and basically grades all of the tournaments that go on worldwide. It's not just a North American or American thing, but they assign ranking and rating to all sorts of different stuff, and it's based on a point system. And in Arizona, we just don't have large events that can compete with some of the more the larger hubs, like New York City's and your Chicago's and probably even your Denver areas. So Arizona folks have to travel to try to crack that. And I don't even know what the fascination is, but you know, it's a goal. It was one of the goals. I was like, hey, at the end of 2015, I'm like, oh, I'm like, what, 1500 ish. I'd like to get into the top 1000, you know, that'd be kind of cool. But, so after the most recent results have gone in, I'm currently sitting 1401 with 46.99 points, and I just checked, and the 1000th ranked player has 68.01 points. So I'm not quite there yet. So that's larger events have larger point values, and not only do you have to go to them, but you have to do well in them, well-ish. I think for the first few, I was like, hey, I'd like to place in the top 50%, and I came, I was there for a long while at Indisc, and then I just saw my chances of making the B final slipping away, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not really in a mood to chase this. I'm just going to go enjoy the other 400 pinball machines that are in banning. In Texas, you have a set quantity of tickets that you can play, so you can't chase anything. You can use your 20 tickets and then be done. And I think with about 5 or 6 tickets left this year, I was just about had enough with the Judge Dredd they had. Or no, not Judge Dredd, the Demo Man. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to learn this thing. Not learn this thing, but I'm going to get a hold of this thing if it's the last thing I do. And on my last ticket, I put up a score that I thought was pretty respectable. And because I had been scoring in the, oh, I don't know, like 100 millions if I was lucky. And then I think I put up like a 600 and whatever million point score. And I was like, you know what? I am not going to qualify for any of the finals, but I'm going to walk away knowing that I finally did something good on Demo Man. So, and I'm going to be doing those two events probably this year as well. So for 2017, it's looking like Indisc, which is in January. It's like the second weekend in January. That's in Southern California. Texas Pinball Festival, which again is, what, end of March-ish. ZapCon, which has traditionally always been mid to late April. And it looks like it's going to be the same scheduling as well this year. And then Pinburg, which tickets went on sale December 3rd at 9 o'clock Arizona time, I think. Yeah. I got on the computer at like 7:55 just to make sure it wasn't 8 o'clock for some weird reason. I don't know. I woke up in a panic sweat. So last year they sold 700 tickets in, what was it, like 2.5, 3.5 hours, something like that. This year they opened it up to 740 tickets for whatever reason. I don't know. Ask Bowen. He's the numbers guy. But that just seems like a very peculiar number. And I think they had 685 people participate because they did have some no-shows, and the in-person wait list was not big enough last year to handle that, or last time around. It was still this year. So they opened it up to 740 tickets, and within 10 minutes, they had sold something like 650 tickets, and I think it took like a half an hour to sell all 740 and develop a wait list. So 2 years ago, it took about 5 hours to sell out. This last time before that, it was, or before this one, it was 2.5, 3.5 hours, and this year, let's just call it 30 minutes. So not only is the reputation of Pinburg increasing, and if you're on the wait list, you'll probably get in because there's a lot of people that just buy tickets and then drop because it's 6 months away and stuff happens. But Pinburg has, even before I started going, which started, I've only been to one event, so, you know, I'm such a veteran, but it's got that reputation of just being the best event. And they have a stage, and they've got TVs and everything for, like, the final area. But, I mean, last time around, my first grouping was up on the final stage. We weren't playing finals games, because they actually modify that lineup on the actual finals time. But like, I was up on the stage, and we had TVs, and I could watch people without standing over their shoulder. And I was just like, this is awesome. The stage is moving a little bit, but this is awesome. So, I mean, Pinburg is definitely, like, if you can only go to one, it's Pinburg. But I'm planning on doing those events, and I really think that I should find a late third quarter, early fourth quarter event to do that's more of a national scale, just so I can kind of spread things out. Because, you know, after Pinburg, you're just like, oh, well, now I gotta wait, like, 6 months or something like that to go to another larger event. You kind of get, not withdrawals, but it's like, yeah, kind of looking forward to the next thing. So, might have to figure out a good one. If anybody has any ideas out there, you can send some comments my way. And, yeah, I'll try to, I'll do them now. Okay, so Facebook, Tucson Pinball LLC, if you're going to just do facebook.com/Tucson Pinball LLC. Or just search us in there. You'll find us. We've got the cool Sugar Skull red graphic dealio that Double Danger Pinball did for us. And let's see, World Wide Web, TucsonPinball.com. You can email me, Wayne@TucsonPinball.com. And yeah, if you've got any suggestions for a good, you know, post or second half of the year event, I'd be more than happy to check that list out. And I could just look at some of the events, you know, on various calendars. They've got them listed, but having feedback is always preferred to just sitting there and kind of going through a list. So in 2016, let's change gears a little bit, go more statewide. So Phoenix added another, at least one barcade. So I think they've got, what, three? They might have added two this year. I can't even keep track. So if you guys would slow down a little bit, I could kind of get used to the names and faces that are already here and then kind of learn things as they go. But that's just how fast they're expanding. They opened Tilt Studios, which is in the Arizona Mills Mall, which used to be GameWorks, apparently, and I never went there. But it's a two-story arcade. It's kind of like Dave & Buster's. It's awesome. It's on a swipe card system. It's a lot of fun. They have... I was just there recently. I didn't even remember to count. But they've got everything but EMs, basically. And there's maybe 15 of them. So they've got a Ghostbusters. They've got a Kiss. They've got a Game of Thrones. They've got a Metallica. They have a Pirates of the Caribbean. I get to play that because my wife wants one of those. And... let's see, that those are all the Sterns, and then they've got, I think Adams is the only modern D&D they had, and then they've got Earthshaker, and one of the pool theme ones, and then, like, just a bunch of solid states, and we played a couple of them. They've got a Stern Meteor, and Bobby Orr's Power Play, and Space Invaders, and I'm just like, the list just keeps kind of going, which we're actually kind of coming close to the end of the list at this point. But I mean, it's just, it's a great selection, and they've been hosting events, and I think that's where Tracy's been doing her weekly league, and that's just been nothing but success up there. So not just Tilt, but I just was at the Grid. Tracy hosted the first tournament directored, TD'd the first monthly that the Grid put on. They had five machines when it was posted, and I think that went up to eight, maybe. They got the Wizard of Oz, like, the day before the event, and then a couple days before the event, they had a Mustang show up. I played Street Fighter for the very first time, and that's a Gottlieb System 3. It's same vintage as my Super Mario Brothers. It's, I think it's a 93... I mean, it plays just like a Gottlieb System 3, but, you're challenged with, using a little bit more of the playfield than Mario, I think. It was fun. I mean, it was an enjoyable game. It wasn't, nothing major flawed in it that I could tell from playing it, like, three times, but it was a fun game. I kind of choked a few times getting that multi-ball going, because it's a two-ball multi-ball, and it's really quick. I mean, there's a reason, potentially, why they give it to you as an option several times a game. But that was fun. That was very fun. The location, it's in Mesa. It's called the Grid. growlers in games, I think. And there's a colon in there somewhere. Yeah, like I said, it was their first event. Tracy ended up winning. It was a group four-player match play thing. It was the scoring was like 7-5-3-1. So if you won, you got 7 points. Second place gets 5 points, so on and so on. And you just keep adding the points up throughout the event. There were 6 rounds in this one with no finals because you don't have to have a finals when you do head-to-head like this per IFPA rules. Let's see what else. It tries to keep you from playing the same game more than once. Or since we only had 6 rounds with 8 games, there was only a few people that played games more than once. I don't think I played anything more than once. I played many games that I don't play very often, you know, because we don't necessarily have a Mustang or we do have Lord of the Rings. We don't have Game of Thrones on location down here. We have a Wizard of Oz, but it's at Gulf and stuff, and I don't like Wizard of Oz anyway. Sorry. I could like it. I could learn to like it probably. I find it clunky. And there's not a ball save by default, which is really... I mean, you don't need it, necessarily. Like, most tournaments, big tournaments, have those turned off anyways. But it's really nice to have a ball save when you're just trying to learn a game, you know? And you're not sitting there hoping to pump in $20 an hour into the machine. So just for a learning perspective, just to feel the shots out and stuff. Because it's just not... It's not a flow game at all. There's a single ramp that kind of comes back to the same flipper, and you can shoot that all day if you want, but you'll score 3 points, which is probably true, because I think I had one game and I had like 12,000 points, and it's just like, hey, sweet, you know, not like, oh, you need to score a billion, you know, the scoring on the game doesn't really matter, but it just feels like, you know, there's a certain, I don't know, there's a range, you know, that kind of, like, Lord of the Rings has it, Mustang has it. Like, you don't need to score billions of points, like Attack from Mars or, you know, Ghostbusters even when you get a hold of it. But, you know, just, I don't know, more than 3 points for a slingshot hit, or I don't even know what it is. But it's a little low. Just feels weird. Feels like you're playing an EM. But then somebody got a hold of it, and I saw 2 scores over 400K, 500K, something like that. So it's like, it's possible. Just not for me, because I don't know how to play the game. So anyway, Tracy picked up the win on that one. She was almost, I think she was guaranteed to win before the last round even started. Because I was in her group, and we played Game of Thrones, and I said, sweet, Tracy likes this game, and I don't even know this game. I've got, like, 4 or 5 games on it total. So, if Tracy had come in last and picked up 1 point, and I came in first and picked up 7 points, I think we would have tied overall in the standings. But I don't quite remember. And it doesn't really matter, because I wasn't even expecting that. The way I looked at things... Like, holy cow, she's got a huge lead, and she likes this game. Odds are she's not going to get 3 house balls and, you know, come in last. So I was shooting for second, and after the first 2 balls, I was not in second. I was in fourth. So I had 1 lock. I had 1 of the 2 lock lights hit. And so I had to come up. I had to hit one of those, the right side lock lit target, and locked that ball, got another one, came out, hit both of those again, started multi-ball, and as soon as I started multi-ball, I was feeling very comfortable, because I was player 4, so I knew exactly what scores I needed. And as pathetic as this sounds to people that just crush Game of Thrones all day long, I think I finished with like 68 million points, and that was good enough for second. So I came in second on the event, picked up a nice little, I think it's like a 3-inch, 4-inch trophy, which is cool. It's funny, just because of the way it was presented and everything. It was, you know, very, it was fun. And then the top 3 also each got a new growler from the grid and a fill. So that was kind of nice. Brought home, I think it's 64 ounces of beer. Still sealed in the container, don't worry, because we had to drive home. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I met some newer players to my world, because I don't make it up to Phoenix a ton. I try, but anybody that started since ZapCon, I think, is new to me. So met a few players, met a few listeners who I had no idea listened, and thank you for those that do. Appreciate it. I have no idea how many listeners I have because WordPress sucks at that, so I'm just kind of guessing by whatever my app or my podcast app software thingy tells me, and I don't trust it anyway. So let's do Arizona overall. So last year, and I was just on the IFPA page, and they don't show participation for 2015 state by state, so I'm just guessing. And going off memory, I remember late in the year, last year, we had just over 140 players. And I don't remember if it was like 142, 144, something like that. But let's just say we had less than 150 players. So I just checked, and currently there are exactly 175 players that have participated in Arizona events this year. And I know some of that's a little wonky because we had the Flippin' with the Greats National Championship Tournament dealio up in Phoenix earlier this year, and that brought in players from some of the major areas. We had Jason Werdrick, we had Trent Augustine, we had Robert Gagneau, and we had a couple other players that are high-level players. And so that probably skews things a little bit, but not enormously, because the turnout to that tournament wasn't huge. But we did have some travelers come in. But we also had some travelers come in to ZapCon this year. We had one from Nevada, and then Gene X Wong from San Francisco area, and the Wagon Sauners, who I happen to see at like every big tournament. They're both very nice and very good players, so never a problem running into them, because they're always very cheerful and very easy and fun to talk to. So yeah, that was that's the year so far. We still in Tucson. We still have two more tournaments, so this isn't like a year in review type of thing. We're not quite locked into positioning yet for the state finals. I was 7, 8, 9 for most of the year, and currently I'm sitting in 14th. So I'm gonna get in. I'm just not 100% sure who I'm gonna play yet, because we still have Trent. Is still in the top 16, but I don't think he's going to travel from Ohio, because I think he's like first or second in Ohio anyways. And there's still a few points that could be sorted out and kind of shuffle things a little bit. So these last two tournaments are going to matter. Not really to me. I don't think I can make up the room, but it's really just going to dictate if Ben and Matt, both Tucson players, get swapped in the upper ends of the rankings, and if I'm currently going to play Ben, but I might end up playing Matt, and they're both good players, so I guess I gotta go practice. So that's been 2016. Thanks for hanging with me, and I'm really excited about 2017. I think there's lots of good stuff going on, and I see growth in Phoenix a lot, and I see growth a little bit in Tucson, which anything in the positive is good. So, yeah, looking forward to what 2017 brings. I'm pretty stoked. So that's about it. Thanks for hanging out. Party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World.